with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you,
Lord.
Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You pay tithes of mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier things of the law, judgment and mercy and fidelity. But these you should have done without neglecting the others. Blind guides who strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of plunder and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup, so that the outside also may be clean." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's readings continue to focus on confusion flowing from false teachings and the correction that's made so that we might live truthfully. In the first reading, we see St. Paul's words to the Christians in Thessalonica. They had been filled with an hysteria that the end of the world was happening right now. And because of that, they were paranoid and paralyzed. They weren't doing anything. They weren't working. They weren't preparing food. Everything that they thought was within seconds, the world was going to be over. And it had happened because they were gullible. People had come forward and just said, "Hey, the Apostle Paul told us that the end of the world's happening today. Better not work, better not do anything." And they were shaken into a frenzy. St. Paul began, "We ask you, brothers and sisters, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling with Him, not to be shaken out of your mind suddenly, not to be alarmed by a spirit or an oral statement or a letter allegedly from us, to the effect that the Lord's day is at hand. Let no one deceive you in this way." In contrast to that hysteria, he puts the path of holiness. He says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, I want you to stand firm and hold fast to the traditions you were taught, either by oral statement or by a letter of ours. Instead of all of this latest rumor spreading all around that's got you so crazed, I want you to focus on the revelation you've been given." And it describes the two sources of that revelation. Written word, this was before the Bible would have been put into a book with the New Testament. But also the oral tradition that was passed down directly from the apostles, from their own lips. I want you to hold fast to this, not to all of this stuff that's just coming with the wind. Part of that tradition, obviously, is what Jesus himself had said, that we don't know the day or the hour, so that we should always be vigilant. But how should we be vigilant? Should it just be paralyzed waiting for the end of the world to happen to us? Not at all. The way that we should be living every day is the way we should be living our last day. Not paralyzed, waiting for something to happen to us from the outside, but from the inside out, living the way a good Christian should live. Today were the last day of your life. Would you say sorry to those you had hurt? I hope so. Would you say I love you to those you haven't said it to for a while? I hope so. Would you cross the road as a good Samaritan and help somebody? Maybe that's your last good act on life. Would you pray? Would you come to daily mass? Would you make a good confession? All of these types of things are things that flow from vigilance. If today were our last day, we wouldn't want it to be taken from us. Like Jesus Christ would freely want to lay it down. We would not say, "No one takes my life from me." No, we would not. We would say, "No one takes my life from me as the Good Shepherd does." But that we would instead offer it as a gift to the Father and to others. We would consecrate ourselves to the outstretched arms of the Eternal Father, saying, "Into your hands I commend this day. I commend my soul, I commend my body, I commend my whole life." That's the way to hold fast to these traditions. St. Paul at the end summarized the essence of that tradition, saying, May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting encouragement and good hope through his grace. That's the gospel. That God has loved us and he strengthened us with good hope through his allowing us to share his life. That's what grace is. Encourage and strengthen your hearts in every good deed and word. God wants to strengthen us to live vigilantly at all times, not paranoid, by filling us from the inside with all his power so that we might do every good deed and say every good word. That's what he wants of us in every age. In the gospel, Jesus gets a little stronger. Today we get his fourth and fifth out of seven woes. Seven forceful denunciations of the way the scribes and the Pharisees of his day had totally perverted religion. And the more converts they made to their form of practicing Judaism, the more perverted they were, turned away from what God was really wanting. Today, Jesus gives us two examples. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you actors, you who are just doing it on the outside for people to see, but whose hearts are far from me. He described that they paid tithes, gave 10% of their mint, dill, and cumin. What are these? These were little kitchen herbs. When you had a huge farm, you were supposed to tithe a tenth of the produce. But when you've got a tiny little garden with just a tiny little bit of mint and dill and cumin even growing there, if you've got one little plant of mint with, I don't know, I'm not really a gardener, but let's just say 20 small little mint leaves on it, then you're going to be taking off two of those tiny little mint leaves and saving them for the next time you go up to the temple. And even more with these other garden herbs. Jesus wasn't mocking that. But he's saying you're paying attention to doing this, and at the same time you're missing the much greater stuff. Instead of justice, you're carrying out all types of injustices, even against your parents. If you say whatever money was supposed to help you, Mom and Dad, I've given over to God, you could violate the fourth commandment. Instead of focusing on mercy, they were incredibly harsh. They didn't want the gospel to be shared with those who were non-Jews. They just thought that Gentile bodies were basically straw to keep the fires of hell burning forever. Instead of fidelity, instead of loyalty toward God and others, as we were talking about yesterday, they would do this type of cross my fingers and put my hand behind my back so that I can lie to you, swearing an oath on something that seems to be putting God as the guarantor of my word, but not explicitly mentioning God, and therefore I can pretend as if I'm telling the truth while deceiving you for my own advantage. Jesus says very clearly, these you should have done without neglecting the others. He wants us really to ponder those weightier things of the law. And we can ask ourselves, if we're pondering and doing the weightier things of the law, sometimes there are Catholics will say all types of vocal prayers all day long, but fail to be merciful to a brother or sister who wronged them two decades ago. We can come even to daily Mass, but then go on out untransformed, judging everybody, rather than loving everybody, rather than being faithful, especially to our friends, can begin to talk behind their back. Rather than being faithful to the Lord in little things, we can just tithe our day and say 90% of our time is for us to do with exactly as we please, but we'll give you just a little bit of time, maybe a few minutes of prayer before we go to bed, or an hour on Sunday if we don't have anything better to do. The Lord Jesus wants us to be pondering whether we're living these weightier things of the law. In the second example, he says about the hypocritical scribes and Pharisees, so they cleanse the outside, but inside are full of plunder and self-indulgence. That we know the Jewish ceremonial washings, all of their pots and pans, all of their hands with half eggshells of water up and down. But a lot of the times their hearts were full of the type of malice that would conspire to crucify Jesus even though they knew he was an innocent man. Sometimes we as Catholics can dress up in our absolutely Sunday best and we can come to church and everything on the outside could look just fine. But our hearts are really far from the Lord. They're a cesspool of things that the Lord Jesus wants to heal and cleanse. But we just don't go to him for him to heal and cleanse them in the way that he set up to do it in the sacrament of confession. The Lord wants us first to be cleansed on the outside so that our real baptismal garment will always shine brilliantly. But a lot of the times, we will, like the scribes and the Pharisees, strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Both gnats and camels were considered unclean. If they touched anything you were to eat, you couldn't eat it. And so if they were going to drink any wine, what they would do is they put a filter over the carafe to strain out the gnats. Because if the gnats hit the wine, you'd have to pour out all the wine, and they wanted to drink it. But at the same time that they were straining out the microscopic gnats, they were swallowing in Jesus' image whole camels, committing far worse things of greater impurity. Jesus wants us, of course, to cleanse that inside and then focus on the outside. The one who shows us how to do this best is Our Lady, the one who models for us all the way we're supposed to respond as a disciple. Today, we invoke her help under the beautiful image of Our Lady of Częstochowa, who has remained as the real hope of the Polish people in Jasna Góra for the last 600 years, really filling them with courage to live the faith. She is the one who, as St. Paul called the Thessalonians to do, was filled with the encouragement of the Lord, who held on to the tradition, who became, in a sense, the living tradition. Pope Emeritus Benedict says that she shows us what tradition is. She took the Word of God inside, gave it her own flesh, transmuted the Word, was transmuted by the Word, and then gave birth to that Word for others, passing on what she herself had received. She shows us how to hold fast to the tradition, not just on the outside, but on the inside. She is the one who absolutely lived the greater things of the law, one who was constantly focused on giving God and others the love they deserved, one who has become our Mother of Mercy, was always interceding with her Son for the charity that he would extend to others like she did in Cana. One who very powerfully showed what it means to be faithful and was praised by her cousin inspired by the Holy Spirit for believing all that the Lord had spoken would be fulfilled. One whom Jesus himself would praise for her great faith. Our Lady wants to help us to grow in precisely this same way as she's helped generations of Poles across the centuries. Back in 2002, I had an incredible privilege traveling with a pilgrimage from St. Stan's here in the city to Poland, where for three consecutive days, wearing John Paul II's papal vestments, I was able to celebrate Mass in front of this icon of Our Lady of Częstochowa. If you look at this image very carefully, it's not really about Our Lady. Our Lady with her right hand is pointing to her Son. And that's what she does here at Mass. She points out the blessed fruit of her womb as we prepare to receive within us that same blessed fruit whom she carried for 9 months before she gave him to the world. May we be transmuted by that Word and transmute that Word and give him to light with all those we meet today. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.